a waymaker, Jesus. Is a waymaker, Jesus. Is a waymaker. One day He made a way for me. Well, when my life was dark and drear, Jesus came and answered my prayer. One day He made a way for me. I know my Jesus is a waymaker, Jesus. Is a waymaker, Jesus. Is a waymaker. One day He made a way for me. Oh, when my life was dark and drear, Jesus came and answered my prayer. One day He made a way. Shine down in this sinful life of mine. I prayed both night and day that Jesus would make a way. He heard my humble prayer and He answered right then and there. One day He made a way for me. Aren't you glad that He did? I know my Jesus is a waymaker, Jesus. Is a waymaker, Jesus. Is a waymaker. One day He made a way for me. Oh, when my life was dark and drear, Jesus came and answered my prayer. One day He made a way. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that one day He made a way for you? And that way still holds good. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. So good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, isn't it? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, give them a nice smile. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God tonight. Praise the Lord. Jesus is a waymaker, Jesus is a waymaker, Jesus is a waymaker. One day He made a way for me. Oh, when my life was dark and drear, Jesus came and answered my prayer. One day He made a way for me. Sing it one more time. I know my Jesus. He's a waymaker, Jesus. He's a waymaker, Jesus. He's a waymaker. One day He made a way for me. Oh, when my life was dark and drear, Jesus came and answered my prayer. One day He made a way for me. Oh, give Him a big hand clap of praise if you love Him with all your heart tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Aren't you so glad that the anchor still holds for you tonight? Praise the Lord. So good to see you in the house of God tonight. I believe we're going to have a good time here tonight. How many of you come to have a church? How many of you come to be a blessing to somebody? How many of you come to get something for yourself? Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's look at our prayer request. If you'll stand with me just for a few minutes, Sister Jan Winters, in a lot of pain tonight, wants to be remembered in prayer. Brother Barclay wants us to remember his mother in prayer. Also, the Lord is doing some great things in his family. And he just
He just wants to praise the Lord for all he is doing. So thank God for that. Tammy Sutherland sends us in to please pray for our cousin Becky Finch. She has a very dangerous infection in her eye that could possibly spread to her brain, which could kill her. She is expecting her second child also and is very concerned about this situation. So let's just pray that God would give her a good positive outlook and let her faith arise to the occasion on this healing in her body. Sister Barron wants us to pray for a little six-year-old girl. She has an infection in her jawbone, severe swelling for the past several months in a lot of pain. So we want to remember that little Adams girl. Let's pray for that need tonight as we pray. Sister Mary Lewis sends this to us tonight. You know, she's been taking some medication for her hair loss, and it's caused some side effects, some more complications. And she's just praying that the Lord would let that be all right in her life, that God would just let that thing help her to grow her hair out. She seeks that, and I believe that's a good desire, don't you? Amen. Sister Tasha Wheaton sends this in from Canada. Please pray for my sister, Victoria. She is 15 years old, and recently she decided that she no longer wants to be a Christian. She has become very difficult to deal with and is making life miserable for my parents. Please pray that God will help her before it's too late. Thank you for your prayer. So we want to just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. God's able to get her attention and let her know just how much she really does need him in her life. Brother Baker wants us to remember Sister Christine in prayer tonight. She's sick, not able to be in the service. Sister Judy Davis having muscle spasms in her neck and a lot of pain, so we want to remember her tonight. We want to remember Brother Pinky's grandson, Forrest, in prayer tonight. He's in the hospital very sick, so let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Sister Mary Lewis sends this in also, that in an area on her lower leg, just severe pain, and they begin to pray, and little Lily got in the bed with them last night and began to hold her and pray, and Sister Mary began to just have a positive confession. Thank God for my healing. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Just all through the night. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Finally, she went to sleep. Sometime in the morning, she woke up and realized, I ain't hurting no more. She wants to praise the Lord for that tonight. So thank God for that. Amen. We just praise the Lord for all that he's doing. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight? Something you'd like for this group to pray about? How many of you believe we're serving a big God tonight that's more than able to meet all of our needs? Brother Dan Dyer, would you come tonight? Pray. Let's commit these things unto the Lord. Let's invite his presence into the service. And let's commit all these needs unto our Lord Jesus. I believe he's able tonight, don't you? Brother Dan, God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, these requests have been made known, and Lord, as we approach you, Father, there's two things, Lord, that we have in mind. Lord, there are requests here for the believers who have been taught, who have studied, who have prayed and learned and have faith. Lord, and by their faith, Father, we pray, dear Lord, that they will rely on what they have learned and what you have revealed to them. They'll go to that and stand on that. Father, there's others here, maybe too young, or those that don't know, Lord, and they have needs. They don't understand the faith, Lord, like a mature Christian would, but may we put our faith to work for them. And Father, we know that the terrible price that you paid when you were here on earth, the suffering, the surrender that you gave, Lord, that tells us it is completely paid for. There's been no price paid like that ever. And you did it. It's done. It's a done work. And that is all that we ever need to keep in our heart, that you've already done it for us and that we receive it. God, thank you for that, Lord. We love you and praise you. We thank you for the services that you're giving us here. We feel it going down in our soul, Lord. God, thank you. Please come, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have all of you here. All of our brothers and sisters from around the world that stream in the service tonight, may God richly bless our brothers and sisters in the service tonight. Let me make this announcement. There will be no church this coming Wednesday night, March the 27th. The bus will be loading, be leaving here, getting ready to take the young people to camp. And so remember that there will not be any service here Wednesday night. The bus will be here getting our young people and taking them to camp down in Louisiana. So let's remember that. Pray for the camp. Pray for our young people as they make that trip, that God will just do something wonderful in their life. They'll come back, get the rest of us on fire. Amen. Are you glad to be in church tonight?
Amen.
Are you glad you love the Lord?
Yes.
Are you glad He loves you too? Let's sing a song tonight. I would not be denied. You know, we get requests here, Brother Terry, every week in and week out, different places all over the world, our local folks. We pray, God heals them. We've had tremendous, tremendous reports. But you know what? If you live long enough, you probably get sick again. If you live long enough, you'll probably die. If the rapture don't get us out of here first. But there's one thing about it. Until I have got no more blood flowing in my body, I want to stand for this truth with all of my heart. With everything I have, I want to be identified with what's right. Is that your desire tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say thank you, Jesus.
When pains of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried. Until Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. No, I would not. No, I would not. Oh, till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. Now as Jacob in the days of old, I wrestle with the law, and it's that with a courage bold, I stood upon His word. Oh, I would not. He would not hear our prayer. Oh, but praise the Lord, the work is done, and Christ our Lord is here. I would not. No, I would not. Oh, till Jesus came and made He would not hear our prayer, but praise the Lord. Oh, and Christ, our Lord, He's here. Would not. Hallelujah. Oh, till Jesus came and made me whole.
Somebody say glory. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, Satan said. How many times has he said it to you? That our Lord was gone and he would not hear your cry. You know what we do? We just keep praying anyway. Brother Terry, we're just going to go on anyhow. Oh, but praise the Lord. I said just praise the Lord. The work is done and Christ our Lord, he's right here, right now, he's right here. Oh, I would not be, no, I would not, oh, till Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be me. Sing it one more time. I would not. Jesus came and made me whole. I would not be denied. Hallelujah. Because I can face tomorrow. That's the reason we can stand here tonight as a group. It's because he lives. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Let's sing just a little bit of this chorus before we change the order of the service tonight. It's because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Yes, because he lives, all my fear is gone. Because to sing it one more time with all your heart. Because he lives. Oh, sing it to him, church. All my fear is gone. You can be seated tonight. We're going to have a couple of specials. Brother Fred Green, if he'd come, be getting ready to sing for us tonight. He has a song that he wants to share with us tonight. Also, our brothers are here. I reckon they're going to give us an acoustic special tonight. Now, they wanted me to let you know that acoustics is a real quiet instrument. And they want you to be real quiet while they play it. And if you enjoy it after they get through playing it, they want you to clap for them. But listen real intently as they play. Will you do that? That's just, somebody requested that. I'm just passing the word along. There's a white Toyota parked out over on the hill. You've left your lights on if you attend that. A white Toyota. You've left your lights on, so remember that. Let's enjoy Brother Fred. Brother Fred, come on, get ready. I want all the brothers that's getting ready to play, I want you to come onto the platform and be getting ready. And right now, all of you come on up here and be getting ready. Bless you, Brother Fred. Appreciate you, bud. Well,
When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, he called for a basin of water. He washed his hands to be free of the blame that he was packing. But rather, a great riotous multitude was made. And he said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Pilate called for a basin of water, washed his hands to be free from his blame. But the wrong he had done, it still tormented many people. Are doing the same. Oh, you cannot find cleansing in water. For your guilt and your sin stain today. It's only the blood of Jesus has the power to wash sins away. Oh, how futile are mankind's inventions for healing a guilt-ridden soul. Oh, how vain are our means and our methods. They can't make a broken life whole. Oh, you cannot find cleansing in water. For your guilt and your sin stains today. It's only the blood of Jesus. He's got the power to wash sins away. Though your sins are as red now, like crimson, they'll be whiter than snow, you will see. If you come to this fountain for cleansing, Jesus opened on Calvary's tree. Oh, you cannot find cleansing in water. For your guilt and your sin stain today. It's only the blood. He's got the power to wash sins away.
Give him another good hand. Praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight as we go on into the service. Our pastor's coming to bring us the word of the Lord. You appreciate your pastor tonight. We're going to pray for him. God will give him exactly what we have need of in this service tonight. God bless you. Let's sing the chorus together as he gets ready to come at this time. He's got it all in control. Do you believe that tonight with all your heart? He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. Put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. That he does. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. One more time. Oh, he's got it all.
Chapter 6, verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. We'd also like to read Matthew 22:34. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Now listen, three elements of the Old Testament that they must love God with. All their heart, their soul, and their might. Now watch Jesus in Matthew 22:34. When the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. That sounds like a bunch of vultures. Oh boy, and you do something they like. They gather around you, don't they? Bunch of vultures. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, deceiver, hypocrites, all the man was. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now wait a minute, Jesus. You ain't saying what Moses said. You see, Moses couldn't include the mind without the new birth. He could say might in the Old Testament, but Jesus now brings a new covenant and he brings the mind in with it. Now think of it, friends. These ain't my words now. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. First conscience, subconscious, all of our thoughts, all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. I wonder how many of us keep that one. Have a look at some of your sisters. You got the hair, you got the dress, you got many of those things. But do we have this here? With all our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Let's ask God's blessings on the word. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight for your word, Father. We thank you for speaking these words so many, many years ago. No doubt that must have left them perplexed. I would imagine some of them picky people that didn't believe you anyway, they probably thought you misquoted the word. They probably sat there in their minds and picked through and said, he sure ain't much of a preacher. He totally misquoted what Moses said. But you knew exactly what you were saying. No doubt you didn't even say it for them. You said it for me. And I am so grateful that you said it for me, Lord. I don't think it's been said just so that it would be written down through the Bible and the ages lay there on the pages of time. But Father, that we would be able to attain to it. So speak to us tonight, I pray, Lord God. May we be able to leave this place tonight and refer back to this scripture and say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in my life. Grant it, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Happy to be a Christian tonight.
Amen.
I want to speak to you from those verses on my heart, my soul, my mind. My heart, my soul, my mind. Now, for those of you that are familiar with the New Testament, you know that it was written in Greek and Aramaic and the common street language of the people of that day. So the word heart is actually cardia, which of course we get our English word cardiac and all the heart types of stuff from it, which is the seat of emotions, the part of you that you think and reason from. And then the soul was where the choice came from. And then of course the mind was the thought and the reasoning. So why would Jesus say that this is the greatest commandment, that a people would love God with all of their heart, all of their soul, and all of their mind, and not go back to might? Now, the word might, of course, there is a Greek rendering for the same word, the Hebrew word that was used in the Old Testament for might, and there was a Greek word that was used, which was very similar, which would be a comparative word to strength. So in the Old Testament, it would be with all your heart and your soul and your strengths. But yet when it comes to the New Testament, Jesus did not choose the word strengths, but he chose the word mind. Now in the Old Testament, they could not, of course, have a new birth. They could not have a new nature, which would not endue them with the power that would give them the ability to totally control as the New Testament would. So they had do's and don'ts, thou shalt not, thou shalt, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And by that love of God in their heart, it would give them the ability to be able to keep an element of that law. But when it comes to the New Testament, now you're looking at something that's totally going to change. Not only will their soul, could they love God from the seat of their passions, their very desires, but could they from the cardia of the part that they love? Yes, they could. Because if they could love Satan from the cardia, if they could love Satan from the psyche, the soul, then they could love God from the psyche. But when it comes to the New Testament, now he's going to bring something that's actually going to move just beyond the seat of passions, going to move beyond the human desires, going to move beyond the seat of emotions, and actually going to move into the realm of the mind, which would have seemed to be off limits in the Old Testament. Because the law could never really release the power that would give them the power of God to help them to be able to control every element of their life. Many of them would be living, they would become slaves of conditions that rule them. They would become slaves of things around them. The conditions on the outside would manipulate the type of people they were, the way they worshiped, the way that
done all types of things. And what's sad is that many people are the same way today. They are totally controlled by exterior conditions and they never learn how to refuse to let those things control them from within. Now, it is a great task, I realize, but it is totally and perfectly attainable by a child of God that has a new birth. Now, a knowledge of the message coming to Happy Valley Church, that sort of thing, will never do it. Positive talking will never do it. You got to be born again. Now, let me read you a few things here so you'll see that I'm not making this up on some kind of strange something. But notice now, Brother Branham, as he picks this up as well. 1954, howdy do, sister. Boy, that's a theologian for you, ain't it? Howdy do, sister. Howdy do, sister. You believe in now with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind? What you need to believe with the mind for? Because if the woman walks up believing with all of her heart and all of her soul, and her mind is not focused on that promise, then the man here and the man up here will never anchor, and she might get healed momentarily, but she'll never maintain her healing. Now remember, it's not just where we live, our soul of course being the very pivotal point of everything that God does from the spiritual sense. And we know the elect is not, their soul is not the psyche part, but it also is a representation of God's seed word. But yet, you know, watch Brother Branham as he pulls it from the three realms that Jesus himself introduced in the New Testament that a believer could believe from. Notice again, alright, now I want you to believe with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind that Jesus will make you well and he will do it. I want you to believe with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now you understand where many of us have been for many years of our life. We have believed with all of our heart, with all of our soul, but somehow we've been convinced we could not control our mind. Therefore, our mind would wander. Our mind would be able to cast doubt. Our mind would be able to go back and forth from the first conscience and the subconscious level. And we would know for sure it was done. And we was totally convinced it was done. And it never happened. And then whenever it never happened, then we come back, I don't know why, they don't never work for me. Not realizing your real self is what's doing the talking. And then you think from the mind, which is the way that you're made up. Now remember, we are both spiritual and we are natural. And in that, God gives us the ability as human beings to word that our words have power and authority. Now they are not deified in the sense of that, but every human being, the words that they speak has an element of exousia or authority or power behind those words. But then a child of God, once they take their words and they are anointed with the Holy Ghost, then they become in touch and in tune, not only with the natural world was around them, but the supernatural world, which is also in them. Now watch this again. Brother Bam says, and there's many, many, many of these places, and I got to studying on this, but I want to just bring you a few. Three as a witness. Love conquers all things. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and faith will accompany that love. So is it possible then that a person can love God with their soul and love God with their heart, with their full emotions, their expressions, and yet not love him with their full mind? And then in their minds toss back and forth, and in their mind then is the deep-seated things of who they really are, their defeats and all the things that they are, going over and over and over again, and it being the man relative to the one down in the engine room that says, it won't happen to me, I'm always this way, bad luck happens. If I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. I'll never be this, I'll never be that, I'll never amount to nothing. And we let our minds go wild. Do we love God? Sure, with all of you. Say, I love him, Brother Donnie, with all my heart. Sure you do. I love him with all my soul. Sure you do. But do you love him with all your mind? Enough to bring every thought in obedience to the word. My. Now watch, again, Hebrews chapter 1. There's only one thing that you can do. Now I love the way it says this. That's the only way you can do a right kind of a job for the Lord. Is put everything you've got right to the forefront for Christ. All your strength, all your soul, all your heart, all your mind. Everything that you've got. When you're doing something, doing anything, you got to do it. Look, if we're not going to do it for God, then all of it we are, there ain't no need to even try. Now watch what he said. If you're not going to do all that, just leave it alone. You're going to be a Christian. Put everything that you've got to Christ. That's your time, your talent, your everything. God don't just want our soul. He don't just want our body. He don't just want our spirit, our heart. He wants to be able to control our mind. He must control our mind. Notice again in Tulsa, that's the reason today that people are dying in the church pews of sin. What a statement. Church pews of sin. Church pews of sin is because they refuse to take the toxin that God has given the remedy for the cure of their heartaches. Now listen to this strange statement that he makes. Of ills and sickness, diseases of the heart, soul, and mind. What diseases can there be in our mind? He ain't talking about people that's got some type of mental retardation or some type of something, mental sickness, a disease in the mind that can be healed. What can be one of the most dangerous things we can have in our mind? Poisonous, toxic thoughts that are so toxic and poison. My, they absolutely destroy your walk with God. They destroy your testimony, your attitude toward everybody else. So God has made a cure by which we would be able to be healed in our soul, healed in our heart, and healed in our minds. Now, I'm going to put this up so you can read it with me. These are the words from a Christian doctor which has studied the brain for over 25 years. No discussion of thoughts on their impact on your health would be complete without examining the words that arise out of your thoughts. Now watch this. Words that arise out of your thoughts. Words are the symbolic output of the exceptional processes happening on the microanatomical, epigenetic, and genetic level of the brain. Don't worry, you don't have to understand all that. Most of you like me, you can't even hardly say it. Must just figure out how it works. Now watch. That God made us this way. The words that you speak are electromagnetic life forces that come from thoughts inside your brain. Now look what words are. Not just good words. Not just true words. Not just right words. Not just holy words. But words. Words. So if you say, I'm no good, I'm no count, you are releasing electromagnetic words that have come through the thought processes in your mind. And no matter how much you said in church, how many tapes you listen to, how much you try to do this and that, you will never change until them electromagnetic pulses change in your head. Don't you see why many folks around this message can't trust preachers? Because they tell themselves that every week. I'll never trust preachers. I can't trust preachers. Preachers can't be trusted. I can't trust a preacher. I can't trust a preacher. You can show them quotes that deep, scriptures that deep, and they'll never believe it because they are totally convinced and the words they speak are electromagnetically charged. And that's why you can show them page after page, quote after quote, and they'll still say the same thing. Friends, this is serious things. Now watch this, the words you speak are electromagnetic life forces that come from thoughts inside your brain. They are influenced by your five senses and result from choices you have made. They reflect your attitude. They contain power and work hand in hand with your thought life. So your words contain power and work hand in hand with your thought life. Mm-hmm. Influencing the world around you and the circumstances of your life. I'm talking about much more than just positive thinking. Framing your world with words is not just talking positively. Your words have to be backed up with honesty. What the science of thought calls integrity. Now listen to me. Don't get in your mind that all you've got to do is say positive things over and over and over and over and over again, and it's going to totally transform your world. Absolute nonsense. If you do not believe those words that you are saying, and you do not have a life force, deity, living inside of you, you'll be worse after this series than you were before I started it. Now that's the danger of hearing things only on an intellectual standpoint. We cannot change our world. We cannot change ourselves by just positive thinking. There must be a positive life behind that positive thinking. You can talk positive. You can think positive. You can control every thought you have. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you still won't be a victorious, overcoming Christian. We cannot take the kingdom of God by intellect. We take it by virtue of a new birth. Praise the Lord. Now, watch this. How you and I, as we take God's word, your words have to be backed up with honesty, what the science of thought calls integrity. What you do and say on the outside must reflect what you think on the inside. A lack of integrity causes stress and affects the way information is processed and memories, thoughts are built. So you can sit here, the word preached, and you can say, I need to change. But lack the integrity, and it will put you under more stress. And you're going to think, dear God, I'm getting worse after this series. Sure you will. I'm warning you tonight. If you don't listen and take these things, you will be worse. Is there anybody here who wants to be worse than what you already are?
Me neither. And that means I don't have to. I'm already better. I mean, I'm going to get even betterer. And betterer and betterer and betterer. Brother Donnie, that ain't even a word. You understood it. You going to tell me your text in his words? My goodness, people don't know how to spell anymore. They got all kinds for all. Don't sit there and look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. There is a language. There is a language of God that God takes words and energizes those words. And 5,000 people could be sitting where those words are heard. And only one out of that 5,000 really catch what was said. So there is an energy that comes with God's supernatural power that releases to anoint those words. Now, there's a great power, as we've already looked at it, in our mouths and in our tongue and in our mind. Now think, your whole soul, your whole heart, and your whole mind. So then what I am, what I'm speaking, what I'm saying, it is a generator. It generates and it comes from a source, a dynamo inside of me, based upon who I am, based upon the things I've been through, the things I believe, the things I stand for, same with you. And yet in that world, there is a way by which that world can be reversed. If I have formed opinions that are wrong of me or of you or of God or whatever it is, those opinions can be reversed. If I have theology messed up about something, all you got to do is show me where I'm wrong and I'll straighten it out. But that's not as near as difficult as it would be for me to reprogram, as we looked at it a couple of weeks ago, my paradigms to where those things that I hold on to and they pour out of me and they are so natural, they've been committed to the subconscious. Just as if you were going down the highway at 60 miles an hour, whatever, and somebody pulls off in front of you or bows up in front and stop of you before you ever have a time in the physical to respond, your subconscious in 3/4 of a second will respond and you'll start braking and you'll start looking to go off the road or what you've got to do. God made us that way. And that is committed to that. Now you realize many things about us that is negative is committed to the subconscious. And that's why we say it and we do it and we live it and we talk it. And we don't even know how bad it sounds. We don't realize how negative we are, because to us it's just as common as eating breakfast. It's as common as putting our shoes on. And we don't even think about it until we start really listening to ourselves. Let's take a journey tonight, shall we? In the scripture, Psalms 19:14.
I realize that we have a reputation here on this hill of being a church who does not believe the Bible. We have a reputation by some as being a church who does not teach the Word of God. Apparently they don't listen very often, do they? Now, watch this. Let's take a little journey down through the Word. And let's see what the Word says about our mouths, our words, our meditation, our tongue, and all of that. And then we'll kind of go on another turn here just momentarily. Now watch. In Psalms 19:14, let the words of thy mouth and my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. How many of you folks meditate? 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, y'all thought I was talking about transcendental meditation. No, I'm talking about Christians. Have you ever done a study in your Bible about what it says about meditating? This ain't for the Buddhists. This is Christians. Now notice what David said. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. So here the heart then will meditate. It will ponder. It will think. It will go over and over. Now don't tell me you don't do it. All of us do it. If we're sane and we're sensible and we're old enough, we start doing it whenever we're 7, 8, 9 years old, something like that. And we start doing it and we do it the rest of our life. But the thing of it is, the important thing is, what do we meditate on? Notice the link between words and meditation. Now David said, let the words of my mouth and conjunction joins it together, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, God wants them to be acceptable in his sight. You agree with this? Psalms 29:1. I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. Oh, David had a bad cussing problem? Every time David lose a temper, boy, he'd just cuss and rant and rave. No, you don't think so? I don't either. Wonder what the sinning was with his tongue. Anything contrary to his word. If he says you're saved, you say you're lost, you just sinned. He says he loves you, you say he don't, you just sinned. He said he cares for you. He provides abundantly for everything you have need of. And you say, I don't think so. You just sinned. We sin with our mouth. Now watch. I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. With a bridle. Everybody line up after church, please. There'll be a bridle fitting on the foyer there. Now think of it. Those of you that rode horses know that there's various kinds of bridles. There's a hackamore bridle. There's a broken bit bridle. There's a straight bridle. There's a bridle with different types of curves. And you want to put the bridle according to the type of horse that you have. Anybody familiar with the hackamore bridle, what it is? Some of y'all aren't. A hackamore bridle, you do not actually put a bit in the horse's mouth. But there's a part on top of his nose, part on the bottom of his nose, and whenever you pull back on the bit, guess what? He can't breathe. So I think maybe some of us need a big hackamore. And we need to keep on hacking them more and hacking them more and hacking them more till we get all this trash out of our mouths. Praise the Lord. Now notice how David looked at the value of what come out of his mouth. Now remember, the mouth is not the originator of words. The mouth only articulates and frames and sends it through from the thought pattern down to the larynx, the voice box, and it comes out through an expression of English, Spanish, French, whatever language we speak. But the mouth is not the originator of language. Those things became thoughts first. But where did those thoughts come from? You see, our mind is like a garden. And we have the ability of controlling what comes into our garden to make up and take up a permanent residency in our garden. So we have the ability to nurture that garden and plant it full of good seeds, thoughts, and wonderful seeds, thoughts, and culture them and dig around them and fertilize them and watch them grow and watch them grow. Or all you you have to do is not do anything at all, and weeds will naturally come to you, because we live in a negative world, in a negative age, in a terrible, terrible time of darkness. All you got to do is read the paper every day. You'll read about all kinds of filth, all kinds of nonsense. Come on, church. So all you got to do is not do anything at all, and your mind will be took over with negative thoughts, and negative thoughts will produce a negative life and a negative attitude and a negative walk with God. Solomon said he passed by the house, the garden of the slothful man. The wall was broken down. The fence was tore down. And it was grown up full of weeds. The slothful man didn't plant the weeds. But because the man was slothful, the weeds took over. Now, watch. David says, oh God, help us. Psalms 49:3, my mouth shall speak of wisdom. And the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. Now, notice the link again. That David is saying that his mouth and his meditation, that he meditated on God and he meditated about God's word. And no doubt he meditated about his position and what God wanted him to be. So he wants his words and his meditation to be synchronized together so they will harmonize to the will of God. So a person can say and say and say and say, but unless your meditation is synchronized with the same thing. You say, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I'm going to heaven, I'm the bride. But when you think and when you meditate, what do you really think of yourself? Whew. Well, praise the Lord. Psalms 141:3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. How many can say amen with David? Amen. Keep the door of my lips. A door. So a door is a way by which things come in and things go out. So the mouth is actually a doorway. The mouth becomes an exit by which things come and pour out of the deep treasury of our hearts. Watch again in Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Lord Jesus, help us, Father. Now the next time you get on Facebook and you get ready to rant and rave, I want you to take your scriptures right here and paste them on your computer screen and then convince yourself you can do that by the word. Well, glory. Y'all got quiet on me on that? Say, there ain't no quotes against trash book. No, I don't need no quotes to preach against trash book. As long as folks trashing on book, I can preach against it. It's wrong. Remember, don't lay aside your integrity. Don't lay aside your Christianity. Don't come down like a scumbag. Don't come down like a rat on a garbage heap to involve yourself with all this trash and Tommy Roy and nonsense. Don't you understand? That's part of this age. The social media thing, it could never have been in any other age. It's part of where we are that people want to give vent to. Don't you understand what it does? It gives many people a pulpit. And many of you good people give them an ear. If you wouldn't give them an ear, they wouldn't have nobody to argue with. If Brother Branham told us not to even argue with the devil, if I'm not going to argue with him, I sure ain't going to argue with some of these people on Facebook. Well, glory. Woo! The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Now let's stop. Does that scripture describe you? Is your mouth a well of life? And out of your mouth comes words that are encouraging. Words of life. Words to uplift. Or is it, oh, you can't believe the latest I've heard. Oh, have you heard this going on? That ain't a well of life. That's trash. That's a cesspool. Some folks' mouth is like the Johnson City dump. I don't look like a dump. I don't smell like a dump. I ain't going to talk like one. Maybe some of you folks like the city landfill. I don't care for it at all. I don't like the smell. I don't like walking in it. I've been there and done that. I don't like it none. That's about one of the longest times on record that I've got. I've been able to hold my breath when I unload my truck. And I don't want my mouth to be identified as no dump. I want my mouth to be a well of life. Not only to you, not only to others, but mainly to me. I want out of my mouth to come the declarations of God, of what God says about me, where I can actually drink from my own mouth. That I can drink from the recess that is so within me, as Jesus said, if any man will believe on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Where does it go when it comes from the belly? Out the mouth, of course. I want my mouth to be so full of life and so full of virtue and the good things of God that I can drink from my own mouth. Watch Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips. Abraham Lincoln said it this way. It's better to be thought a fool and be quiet and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and solve all doubts. Notice verse 20, Solomon says, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is a little worse. Proverbs 12:14, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Now watch. So there is a way that a man, woman, boy, and girl can actually be satisfied by the fruit of their mouth. Fruit? So then fruit is a product, right? Fruit is a product of a life, of a tree, of germination, of a process, of pollination. It is a fruit of a life of a tree. So something can come out of an individual's mouth on a consistent basis, and it is so fruitful that a man or woman or boy or girl eats of the fruit of their own mouth. Now everybody does that, whether or not you know it. That's why some folks look like this all the time. Persimmon mouth. Oh, sour mouth. All frowns, never smiles, never happy. Never have a good word to say about nobody, not even God. Where's that come from? Fruit of their mouths. And the fruit's all sour and makes them pucker up. They ain't got no joy. They ain't got no peace. Full of criticism, full of sarcasm, all this. Come on, church, preach with me now. But the choice is simply up to you and I. It does not have to be that way. It can be fruit that rolls out of our mouth that is so sweet and so precious and so life-giving. And remember, in the fruit is the seed. And out of the seed comes the same cycle again and again and again. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Now I want you to think of this. Don't answer me. Don't raise your hand or anything like that. But I just want you to ponder in your heart. Are you so solidified on the word? And your life and your thoughts and your mouth and all that is so in harmony with God's word. Oh, you love it when you come to church and hear the preacher. You love it when Brother Jewel flies in and flies out. And this man comes and that man comes. The pastor comes and preaches. Oh, it's so wonderful. I love it, Lord. But I don't have to wait on Brother Donnie to have good fruit from my mouth. Or are you so dependent on preachers? Preachers are here to help you, but I'm not here to help to grow this garden in your mind. This is an individual commitment. It's something, Brother Terry, that every individual, this is not a preacher's task. It's not a preacher's responsibility. It is up to every individual to sow the right thoughts and clear out all the toxic things in their mind and say, God, help me to get rid of all that stuff. If I don't see Brother Jewel again for 6 months, I'm going to be eating fruit every day. If I don't hear Brother Darrell preach for another year, if I don't hear Brother Tim Pruitt preach for 6 months, 9 months, whatever it is, you know what? I'm going to be eating fruit every day. You know where I'm going to get it at? I ain't going to go to some website. Nothing against that. I don't have to go there, but I want my fruit to come from out this old boy's lips right here. Which is a greater victory than going to Brother Tim's website and clicking over here and going over there. That's what many of you folks do. That's what folks do. They'll go over here and they go over there and they go over there. Why? Takes all the pressure off of them. It's no work required. No, but your garden is still going to be bare. It will still tell on you in the end. You don't want to depend upon me for your salvation. You don't want to depend upon any other man for joy in your walk with God. It must come from within you. A personal victory, a personal achievement that God has done inside of you, that you are living on the fruit of your own mouth. Would it be to the depth as it would with a preacher? No, it won't. But you're still living on the fruit of what God's done for you. Notice Proverbs chapter 13 verse 3. Solomon again says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Whew. No wonder Brother Ben said the apostles were men of few words. Sometimes I wish I was a man of a whole lot less. And I'll go ahead and say it for you. I wish most of y'all were too. Well, praise the Lord, Brother Donnie. I'm going to have to preach an amen too. Now look, folks, this is hard being a preacher in the amener. I can do it if y'all want to do it. I'll run back here and sit right there and then run back up here and preach if that's what y'all want me to do. But remember, God's writing all this down in heaven. And God's going to double bless me four ways from Sunday and y'all ain't going to get a nickel's worth. Now notice he says, he that keepeth his mouth. Listen how vital this is. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. His life. His life. He that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 14:3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. So remember, lips ain't just for taking preserves in. Lips are to preserve you. These things ain't just for feeding. They ain't for hot dogs and tacos and hamburgers and steaks and mashed taters and sweet rolls. These things are to give you life. They can frame your victory. Do you understand? Your thoughts is what's brought you to where you are tonight. And your thoughts will take you where you wind up tomorrow. You can place it all on sovereignty if you want. God ordained me to backslide. God ordained. Don't you blame a bunch of that trash on my daddy. A lot of what we are today, a lot of our fears, a lot of our complexes is because of our own thoughts. We sit around and meditate on this and meditate on that and feel sorry for ourselves and wallow in our plight and wallow in our difficulty instead of saying, I am more than a conqueror. I am more than an overcomer. I'm not the only one that's been this way. There's been thousands before me and they made it by the grace of God and I'll make it too. Proverbs 15:23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? A man hath joy. How many in this building wants more joy? Right here's part of the key. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. You believe it?
Amen.
Notice again, Proverbs 16:21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Isn't that backwards? So you mean what I say can teach me something? If you'll really listen to what you say, it'll teach you who you are. If you really sit down and write down folks who trouble you, folks who've been in your life, a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, an uncle, whatever it is, and you have all kinds of toxicity in your body, in your system, whenever that person's name will come up. And you'll really sit down and really be honest, as if only God alone will read this. You might be surprised what you find out. You might be surprised of what you said, no, sir, not me. That's why you're in the shape you're in today. Because those thoughts and those deep embedded situations, that's why some of you don't trust a man to this very day. You were molested by one when you was a girl, when you was a boy, and therefore you trust no man. I wasn't the one who done that to you. Don't blame me. God wasn't the one who done that to you. Don't blame God. Come on, don't get quiet on me. But yet people hold this with them. They don't trust. They don't allow the freedom to live. They hold grudges. They hold all these things. And they sit right in message churches. And you're the deep things of God preaching. And they wonder why they don't go on. And we scream seven thunders and scream this and that and the other. What good does it do to scream all the mysteries? What good does it do to scream it all with all this stuff hidden down inside of our lives? Oh, come on, church. It's the truth and you know it. Notice, but David said a man, or Solomon rather, a man that hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good it is. And then he says, in chapter 16, verse 23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. The heart of the wise, now notice, you're not just wise in heart, but you're wise here. So the heart of the wise teaches the mouth. The heart of the wise teaches the mouth. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. So you can learn to your lips and learn from your lips. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul. Lord have mercy. No. Health? Don't tell doctors this. Don't tell therapists, psychoanalysis. Don't tell all these people we found the key to health. Is this true? Now don't let the pharmacists at Walgreens know this because they'll be looking for me tomorrow. Don't let all the doctors and all these people know that we have found a key and it ain't something from some planet somewhere. It's been laying right here in this black back book for all these years. But we've served him with all of our soul and served him with all of our heart. And let our minds be a garbage dump. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You folks will turn up your nose at anybody you see smoking. Look at him. Yell on his filthy, defiling his temple. And science is proving over and over again that toxic thoughts and toxic emotions kill people. Takes longer, but kill people just as effective as a gunshot wound to their head. Why would we defile the house of God with toxic thoughts? If we think it's wrong for a person to smoke, and we do we not? We think it's wrong for a person to defile themselves with alcohol and many of these things, and yet we will give these things, these poisons, room in this house of God. Make room for them and open up and let them be in our mind and be in our emotions and be so toxic that it just pours out of us to others. And we feel so sanctified. You're going to keep on, sir. I'm going to be standing on the side of the road with a sign. We'll preach for money. Notice this. Death and life are in the power, not of the soul. Not in the power of the heart. In the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Anybody besides me and Brother Tim ever gotten soul trouble because you're big mouth? Well, I want to tell you, rest you guardian angels here tonight, we are just some kind of honored that you've come down here and put on human bodies to be with us poor mortals. How many soul troubles, how many troubles have I brought on myself because of my own mouth? Whew. Oh my. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul. His soul. How many would like to have less soul trouble? Now, if I went on the web and I built up this website and I went up this great old big long name, this comes from the deepest forest of the Amazon down under a big tree. There's a copperhead there and a great big python, and I crawled underneath it and I dug this root out of 14 foot of mud, and here it's been proven by Aunt Jemima and Uncle So-and-so and Uncle Silas and everybody else. This will give you peace. Ain't no telling how many bottles I can sell by in the morning. Because humans have a vulnerability towards snake oil. All you got to do is take an 80-year-old woman's picture and say, this is what she looked like before she drank it. And then take a 40-year-old woman that looks a lot like her. How much is it? You accept PayPal? What about credit card? MasterCard, Visa? Oh, my. Second day delivery? Oh, my. What? Can you have it Monday morning? I need it bad. And the power is laying in you. The power is laying in me to reverse many of the things that we deal with and to minimize some of our troubles. We would call somebody nuts if they would stand up behind this pulpit and say, God, give me more trouble, would you please? God, I ain't having enough. I want more soul trouble. I want more life trouble. I want more heartaches. God, please, please pour it on me. Devil, pour it on me. They'd say, poor fella, he's nuts. We do it indirectly by the words we say. Listen to this in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Now that is a big mouth. I'm not a fool by nature, but I have been foolish at times. And there's been a few times I walked right in my mouth. Oh, I put my foot in mine, Brother John. Oh, no. Don't get away with that foot deal with me. You buried yourself in between them lips. Just like I have. Not put my foot in. Oh, no. The foot would be a minor thing. But when a fool's mouth will actually swallow up himself. Now, you're talking about making a fool look like a fool. Well, you say, where you been? I've been lost for 3 days. Where? In my mouth. I couldn't find a way out. Don't you understand, friend? We talk ourselves into trouble. We talk ourselves into defeat. We talk ourselves into nobody likes us. We talk ourselves in, and then we have to try to dig ourselves out. Amen. Look at Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 10. Peter says, he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. How many would like to be this kind of person? Now just listen to the simple description. He that will love life. Friends, you realize we're living on this age. We are living with millions of people who do not love life. I'm not talking about living the order, cosmos, the world order. I'm talking about loving life. Oh, I want to go too. I want to go to heaven. I want to get out of here, but not until it's ready for me to go. I don't want to be so heavenly minded I'm no earthly good. As long as I'm here, I'm going to cause trouble. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, if I'm here, I'm going to tear up hell. I want to make nervous devils nervous. I want to cause sick devils to have ulcers. Oh yes, if I'm here, I want to be doing something for the kingdom of God. I don't want to be sitting around putting my thumb, oh God, can I die today? Please God, let me die by 6 o'clock tonight so I don't have to preach. Oh God, please let me die by in the morning. I don't want to preach in the morning. God, if I couldn't die in the morning, could I die before Wednesday night? Please God, let me die. I want to enjoy life. I want to enjoy going to church. I want to enjoy my family. I want to enjoy the message of the end time. I want to enjoy life. But Brother Donnie, my conditions aren't perfect. Neither are mine. I ain't waiting till they get perfect. I want to enjoy them now. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips so they speak no guile. We got time for a couple of affirmations. Let's look in Psalms 32 verse 6. This is my affirmation. He will preserve me. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto them. Psalms 32, 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Can you imagine? It ain't Harry singing to you. It ain't Louie. It's God. Woo! My Lord! When God comes around and God begins to sing around you, Selah. Hallelujah! You will deliver me and you will compass me with songs. Psalm 64:1, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Not just from the enemy, but from fear of the enemy. Come on, how many be honest here tonight and say you get afraid sometimes of the enemy. He can do this or he can do that. God don't just want you free from the enemy. He wants you free from the very fear of that enemy. Don't fear cancer. Don't fear these diseases. Don't fear all this stuff. But Brother Donnie, my grandma, that don't mean you're going to die with it. Somebody's going to be alive and well. Amen. Why can't some of you live to be 80 or 85? That's all right. We'll roll you in and roll you out. Psalms 91:9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So which is stronger, the chicken pox or Psalms 91:10? But if out of your mouth you say, flu's going around, I'll probably get it. You probably will. Go ahead and go to the drugstore and get ready because you done signed for it. Praise the Lord. Well, this is going to always get it and you always will till you change your thinking. Well, praise the Lord. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all of thy ways. Verse 12. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Oh, you say, Brother Donnie, I thought that was speaking of Christ. It is. It is. not just Jesus Christ, but Christ, the anointed word. Where do you figure the Christ is in this day? It's not Jesus Christ on the earth. Amen. In his body, it is Bride Christ. Bride, the anointed one. And the angels watched over him, and they will watch over us if we will allow it and let our mouth say his words. Psalms 121 verse 6, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. But he can't if we don't believe he will. When we allow our mouth to sin and say the opposite of what he says, he cannot. Listen to this. I use this verse when I'm flying. And I walk onto an airplane. I don't care who's standing there. If it's the president, vice president, cardinal, viceroy, stewardess, mechanic. Don't make no difference. My hand goes on the side of that dude. And I say, Lord God, I claim your protection. You say, why? It's made by man, flown by man, worked on by a man. Why shouldn't I want protection? Oh, yes, sir. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Hey, that don't work for a 747 only. It works for a Ford. It works for a Buick or a Pontiac or a Chevrolet. Oh, Brother Donnie, you mean God would watch over us? I think the only reason more things aren't kept away from us is because we don't ask of his bounty. We trust in our own driving to go to Walmart. We trust in our own ability to go to the grocery store and say, to Lord, watch over me. Lord, keep all evil away from me. Why? We're trusting in ourselves. We better get to trusting in him with all of our hearts. Can I do one more? I have help in trouble. Psalms 9:9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Now, does this mean I ain't never going to have no problems? Oh, no. What it means is I will have problems, but I got help dealing with them. And it ain't Valiums and lower tabs and all that sort of thing. Glory. I don't have to smoke no dope in the morning, smoke no dope around noon time, and smoking I've already high all day long. Amen. I got intoxicated many, many years ago. And I'll tell you what, friend, it ain't nothing that's got, I got a big bag I can refill. Oh, sometimes he wants to give me another dose of it, but it's good when I'm up. It's good when I'm down. It's good when I'm sick. It's good when I'm low. You understand what I'm saying? It's that new wine. It's that new wine that Jesus said, I'll give it. Oh, Lord, how come I'm so... Your mouth. Psalms 27:5, the rapture psalm. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Psalms 37:39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. He didn't say he'd keep you from all trouble, but he did promise, Brother Jim, I'll be your strength. When trouble comes, when sickness comes, I'll be your strength. Don't get down when it comes. He told you it's going to come. But remember, when you're there, Lord God, I remember your word. You said use my strength in the time of trouble. I can't do this on my own. I can't face it on my own. You are my strength in the time of trouble. My children's doing this. My loved ones are doing that. My husband doing this. But God, you are my strength. Mine's running. Now, my faith may be low, whatever more, but you are my strength. Psalms 41:1, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord shall deliver him in time of trouble. God is our refuge. Psalm 46:1, in strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 2, therefore we will not, notice, we, as the people of God, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be moved, though the mountains instance, be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof Selah. Any of y'all ever had that happen to around you? You're sent over on Buffalo Mountain, Brother Jerry, and just disappeared. Mountains were shaking like jello. David said, we'll not be afraid. Now come on, let's be honest. Most of us need to move up. Before that happened around us, we'd be, Lord of mercy, we'd be a basket case. Psalms 59:16, but I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. Thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them, oh glory, he knoweth them that trust in him. Another affirmation, I'm delivered out of trouble. Now sometimes I'm going to go through it, sometimes he'll pull me out. Glory. Psalms 18:48, he delivers me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Psalms 34:7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that fear him and delivereth them. Psalms 34:17, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of do you believe all? Well then say all. The Lord delivereth them out of all. But if you say all in the service, and then you walk out in the engine room, man, the engine room says, what about your lumbago? What's that big toe of yours? You got gout in that toe. You still going to take them heart pills in the morning? Yep, sure am. So Jesus fully delivers me. You're going to take them nerves pills, swallow every one of them I need in the name of Jesus. And saying, this might be the last bottle I'll take. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You got a CT scan. You got this, that, the other on Monday. Yeah, you're going to take it. I sure am. Or you got to have surgery. You're going to do it. Sure am. And he's going to heal me once I get through it. You ain't getting me down, devil. No matter what you do, what you try, you ain't going to do it. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. All right, everybody drag out your bed sheet. Let's start weeping and wailing. Oh God. Oh God. Don't stop in the middle of that verse on me. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, colon. A colon's not the end of a sentence. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Is that the word of God, saints? Do we want our heart, our soul, our whole mind, everything that we are to be able to look at these promises and say, yes, Lord, this is me. This is my inheritance. Let's stand. Couple of more in this one. Psalms 97:10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Proverbs 11:8, the righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. That sounds like a good deal to me. The devil works 4 years and lays a big snare and big trap for me, and the Lord just moves me over and lets a wicked man walk out in the middle of it. Sounds fair. Woo! Proverbs 12:13, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out. Amen. The just shall come out of trouble.
You believe it. My heart, my soul, my mind, my emotions, my feelings, my thoughts, the deepest rooms of my being. Who have I been shaped to be? Who have I been formed to be? God wants all of that. Truly, it was a miracle when God got a hold to some of you and gave you a new birth. You drank, you ran around, you lied, whatever more you did. He changed and gave you a new nature, put His Spirit in you. But to me, what a miracle this is going to be. That God, Brother Jerry, can not only change our hearts, our souls, but be able to take such a hold of our minds after we've been so set in our ways. And some of you have been set in your ways for 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. Since you've been a Christian. Which makes them more conceivably to believe that they're all right. Our attitudes, our demeanor, whatever that we are, it's all right. You imagine these people that would come across the platform, and Brother Branham was here, and he would tell them, and these terms you can look it up, he used it many, many times, but you're a deep thinker, always crossing bridges before you get to them, taking people's troubles on you and worrying about them. Quit that. Now you think, how could they have done that? Stop that. Quit that. Amen. Go off this platform singing happy songs. Amen. This will bother you when you get older. Now, this person didn't go to Happy Valley and hear a series of how many ever sermons on how to quit being a deep thinker. This individual had one quote, a direct statement by the Spirit of God, spoken through a human instrument, right? Amen. Quit this. What a challenge. Would any of us been able to have done it? Would one statement from a man of God, quit that, been enough to set us free? Or would we need scientific proof, quote after quote, page after page, scripture after scripture? Now you think of the people, and some of this has been said in the 50s. Whew. Well, let me say to you tonight, some of y'all are deep thinkers. Crossing bridges before you ever get to them. Worrying about things that probably never will happen. And if they do happen, you make them this big and they wind up being about like that. And you wasted all that good garden space. Do you understand that they say, in your brain capacity is 3 million years of room for memories. Praise the Lord. I wonder how much room we've got in there and how many bad things are there. Bad memories and bad associations. Whew. My soul, my heart, my mind. My mind.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads together if you would. Heavenly Father, I pray you would help us tonight, Lord Jesus. I join myself with these people. I need your help. I have begun a long process. It's taken me many years to fill my garden with a mixture of thoughts and seeds. Some are good. Some are neutral. Some are negative. And some are horrible. With those thoughts that I've thought upon over and over again has been released chemicals from the neurotransmitters in my brain. As I begin to think about those, they grow limbs, as it were. And more feelings were associated with them. Lord Jesus, we ask for your help tonight. I don't want to give you my soul. I don't want to just give you my heart. I want to give you my mind. Please help me, Lord. I know that Satan, as long as we're here, will always have access to try to cause them birds to fly over our farm. But we're the one who has the say of who builds the nest. So he may try to put negative thoughts and bad thoughts and thoughts against ourselves, against others, against you. But we're the one who can put him to going. But Lord, for many of us, they've become permanent. They're residents in our mind. We've given them garden space. We've fenced off this certain portion of grudges and indifference and bitterness. And we feel like we're justified in hating or disliking or whatever these people, because we have all these toxic emotions to prove that we're justified. Lord, may you search each of us from the pulpit to the back, to the upstairs, to online. May you go up in New York. May you go down in Georgia. May you go down in Florida. May you cross the waters, go into the Netherlands, down into Johannesburg, over in Oslo. Lord, wherever they are and whoever they'll hear this, may the Spirit of God set them free of that illness in their mind. Lord, we're not like someone who would be mentally retarded sitting here tonight. And if someone had been rolled in the service in a wheelchair and they were mentally retarded and they were slobbering all over themselves and couldn't speak their name, and we'd all look at them with such pity and think, poor things. Poor things. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they are. Poor things. But Lord, help us to see there's more illnesses of the mind than mental retardation. Help us to see we can be toxic in our thoughts. And that toxicity spews out through the venue of our words. Instead of being a wellspring of life and silver and a word fitly spoken, is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Lord, our words become poison, venomous like a serpent. Help us, Lord. Lord, I don't want to detox my colon. I don't want to detox my bladder or whatever more. I want to detox my brain, my thoughts. Set me free, Lord Jesus, from my garden. Help me that I can begin to cultivate and tear down. Lord, if people could only realize their thoughts of racism, where's it come from? A paradigm in their mind. Maybe a white man or a black man was harassed on his job. Some of these kids, 3 or 4 years old, their daddy come home and told about it. This white man called me a bad name. This black man called me a bad name. It instilled something in that 3-year-old child to make him suspicious of black people. Or if he was black, made him suspicious of white people. And they carry that all of their life. And let Satan torment them. Now they're saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and they still have that racial paradigm down inside of them. Deliver us, Lord. Deliver us. You don't love a black man any more than a white, or a white any more than a black. You have a superior race, all right. It's the new race by the blood of Jesus. And it is Chinese and Africans and Americans and Canadians and whatever more, Lord. Help us to get past these things, Father. Help us, I pray, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. Take my heart, my soul, my mind. Help me, Lord, to become more solidified in your word, that outer circumstances do not control me. Help me, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. How many needs his help tonight? Did you just raise your hand to him? Signifying your need in your heart. We've heard some wonderful scriptures before us tonight, friends. It'll take God's grace to help us. We don't want it just to be intellectual and that we try to do it intellectually and come up on the short end of the stick, as we say. But we want it to be the Spirit of God gives us the ability to take these words, not just positive thinking. Somebody said, oh, Brother Donnie, I've been reading this book and I've been on this website. My, some of these other people have been saying these things for years. I agree. Some of these things they have been saying for years. But remember, it's different when it comes from the anointed Christ. Two people can quote Matthew 28:19. It'll mean two different things if the anointed one says it. So remember, what did much of that produce? Finer homes, bigger cars, more this, more that. That ain't what I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching for you that can love life. Just be happier. A more fulfilled Christian. Whether or not you die rich and leave a bunch of stuff for your children to fuss and fight over, I ain't worried about that. If you can be a better dad, a better husband, a better wife, a more consecrated mother, isn't that what it's all about anyway? Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we worship you tonight, Lord. Just raise your hands if you would now in His presence. Hallelujah, Lord God. Let me tell you something else than I am. I'm not only redeemed and saved, delivered from trouble, kept from my enemies, but I am a worshiper. I am a worshiper. I'm not a pretender. I'm not one to run through the motions. I am a worshiper. I worship from my soul. I worship from my emotions. I worship from the deepest part of my being. There's parts of me that I give only to God. There's parts of me my wife don't get, my children don't get, my grandchildren don't get, you don't get as my sheep. I reserve that for the Lord God. Hallelujah. It's His. I have confidence in people, sure, but I put my utmost confidence in no man. No preacher, no deacon, nobody else. I put my utmost confidence in the Lord God. Because men will let you down, but He'll never let you down. Praise God. I worship you, Lord Jesus. I adore you from my soul. Great Adonai, mighty Elohim, you who spoke your word in the beginning, Lord, you who spoke it again that day in the bow of the ship, I pray you'd come in this place tonight, Lord, speak it again, speak peace, comfort to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to change our foolish ways. Help us, Lord, for our mouths to be a wellspring of life. Help these people to realize these scriptures tonight was not for the preachers. It was not for deacons only. It's for every child of God. Mothers here tonight can let their mouths turn into a wellspring of life. Fathers, men that carry their dinner buckets under their arm and they witness to people. Oh, they may not be able to go into the great depths of theology, but they tell somebody about Jesus that can save them. A Jesus that can heal. A Jesus that can set him free. That man's mouth can become a wellspring. That person he's witnessing to may not be bright. They may not ever come to this church and be called to be part of the message. But it's a mortal that needs help. God, I don't want to just help bright. You didn't. You reached out to the multitudes and the masses. Brother Brenham prayed for heathens. You prayed for heathens. God, I want to reach out to anybody that I can help. They don't have to be bright. They don't have just to be Malachi 4 people. I'll help any mortal that you've sent across my path if I can, Lord. I believe that's the way you feel about them, Lord. Hallelujah. Let my mouth be a wellspring of life. Let my words, Lord, let them be fitly placed, fitly spoken. May the fruit of my mouth be a joy. Let me live, God, at the fruit of the garden of my thoughts. Let my thought world be so fruitful on the promises of your word. Oh, that every day of my life I eat the fruit from my garden. Me and my beloved come into the garden. Hallelujah. The gate is closed around us. And he whispers to me his words of love. There I nourish my garden of my thoughts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I dig about them.
Oh, glory to God. I nurture them. I water them with praise. And I eat of the fruit of my own lips. Praise, adoration. Confessing what your word says I am. Confessing what the message says I am. I'm a winner. If I go by the way of the grave, you'll lead me down through death and resurrect me on the other side. If I'm alive, I'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I cannot lose. Hallelujah. If it's your will, Lord God, that I get some disease or something and it takes me out, I'll still win. Lord, if I get hit by a car after church and it's your will for me to go that way, I still win. I'm a winner. I can't lose. If God be for us, who can be against us? Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, I worship you, my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, my Father. Hallelujah. Make the words of my mouth acceptable in thy sight. Meditation of my heart, please you, Lord. Let my mouth be a well of life unto me. Let me live from the fruit of my words. I'm justified by my words. I'm condemned, you said, by my words. Make me, Lord, my words. Let me eat of the fruit of my words. Teach me, Lord, that I can live in this day a glorious life that is not changed by circumstance or sway. Make me an overcomer by my own words. Let it be deity in me speaking your words. Oh, Lord, make my words like yours. Let me speak where you spoke, just like you. Hallelujah. Let my life be alive, quickened by the word. Let my mouth be a well of life. There is power in my words that I speak. If I say I'm strong, or if I say I'm weak, power will resonate if I say I'm more than a conqueror. Or it will reverberate if I say I keep making and I'll never be able to hold on. Oh, let us see we are changed by my words speak of deity. Let my words talk of me. Let my words.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Well, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Oh, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. Come on and sing a little bit now. From all sin and shame, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise Him. Oh, He's so wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God to me. He's saving me, keeping me. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Oh, He's so wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. Counselor,
God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. Come back again in the morning. If you can stand it, we might have a few more wonderful things for us to look at. Any of y'all ever read the scripture in the Bible that God said, anybody that gets you touches the apple of His eye? You know what that means? You know what that word apple means? Pupil. God says when somebody touches you, they're putting their finger in my eye. It's not an apple. It's the pupil. You also realize if you get close enough to another human being, and the lighting is right, and you get close enough and look into their pupil, you know what you'll see? Yourself. You ain't but about that tall, but it's still you. Hallelujah. I found that today. I about had a spell, and it wasn't even Christmas time. Think of that. God says when they touch you, it's like them putting their finger in my eye. But do you feel that way about yourself? Can't you see, friends, where we need to be adjusted? To where we need help in reading these promises that are so profound that we can read them and say, God help me, that I can believe that and accept it that way, that He actually feels that way about it. God bless you. Service again in the morning. You appreciate Him? You love Him? And I was going to tell you too, if you're running out of room on your refrigerator, I saw that Sears had refrigerators on sale, them double doors. If you need more room to put your affirmations, Carol's got them on the windowsill, she's got them on the pantry, she's got them in the closet, she's got them absolutely everywhere. We had the Culligan man to come out the other day and check the water filter, and I noticed him. He was in there really acting strange. I thought, what has he done? He was checking out the affirmations. I don't want him just to check them out. I want to check them out. I want him to check them out in me, don't you? God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. Let's sing it as we go. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He, saving me, keeping me. He's so wonderful, wonderful.